Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help the ADL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the ADL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Yes, we most certainly do love this land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. And tonight, the producer and the co-host of the show this evening is our very own Kel Fritzy, a.k.a. Red Fox Blogger, a.k.a. tonight, Anjan's favourite girl. What's all that about, Kel?
Oh, I tweeted him again last night.
You're obsessed with this gentleman. I was almost going to call him a gentleman.
Oh my goodness, me. Yeah, come on.
He's so irresistible.
I sent him another tweet.
It's the beard that does it, isn't it? It's that beard.
I sent him the link to yesterday's show, and I said, I'm very disappointed that you nor one of your accolades called into the show. I'm very disappointed, and I sent him the link to the show. I think he's going to report me.
We have rat balls coming on the bloody show, aren't they? Running about. I kill you, we've got one of them bloody keeps coming in the studio, for goodness sake, girl. And we're encouraging them, aren't we?
We'll have to round up the wagons,
won't we?
Well, let's just say that I won't be dancing to my Sharia anytime soon. I can promise you that, at least.
I think these women who walk around in these bin lives, because it does. You see, sometimes when they walk around, you feel like maybe the dustbin man or the trash man have forgot these bags. And you think, oh, no, these are women walking along. It looks like rubbish bags.
Absolutely. And they really do not like it when they're blocked up and thrown in the back of the truck.
They say, is it because I'm a Muslim you're from? No, it's because we thought you was rubbish. Well, you're rubbish, but that's beside the point. Well, you're in a dress round, dressed like that. You know, when I was in Regent's, going back a couple of years ago now, when I was around Regent's Park, you know, we got London Zoo not very far from now. And there's about three or four of them. They was walking along, and I think it must have been their husband at the front and that. And I looked, oh, my goodness me. Are these the escaped penguins from the penguin enclosure? I thought we need rounded up and put them back in the zoo.
Puts a whole new meaning on March penguins.
It's true. It's just, I can't, you know, it does really, it really is annoying when you see these people that people fought so hard to preserve, you know, women's, you know, the equal rights for women, the vote. And we got these people, these medieval people come along and trying to drag us back into a dark age where women are classed as second class citizens, because, you know, these people, these Muslim men, treat their women lower than their animals and cattle. I mean, that's the truth of it, isn't it, Kel? I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, we put up with this sort of absolutely stupidity. You see these cases with what was going on in Afghanistan. How many times did people see the video pictures of this Talibani whacking this woman because she's showing a bit of her ankle? She was being whacked because she was showing a bit of her leg, slight little bit of her ankle, which dressed improperly. We've seen it in Iran, women being dragged off the streets because they're improperly dressed. And this happens all the time. Are you showing your leg, Elf?
I love showing off my ankles. I show my ankles off all the time, Jeff. Come on.
Do you know, I just heard that. I know that little giggle in the background. And he's, yeah, look at him. He's got his posh bloody collar on tonight, that diamante thing. And he's got a new bell on there.
Oh, yeah.
Our very own Mr. Tim Burton, Cat Strangler 101, and good evening.
Hi, Tim.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
good evening, Jeff.
Very
good evening, Jill.
Tonight. Still got that
oh,
odd
yeah,
stove,
yeah,
Tim.
I've been giving me fur a bit of a brush, and even though I say so myself, you know, it's
trying to cover
really
up that pouch of yours, Tim. That little. Yes, we've noticed, mate.
I'm a cat.
Jim has a pouch. Is he actually a kangaroo?
No, you know, he's got that little, pouch around his belly. It's looks a bit podgy. Over. God, there's a high speed whistle going on through the studio, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know.
What was I going to say? I completely lost my thread. I've got a little anecdote to tell you today. It's quite amusing. I was working away in my office, and there was a knock on the front door, and I've got some cameras on the front of the house. So I took a look to see what was on the front of the house, and it was a couple of police officers, and I thought, oh no, what have I done wrong now? So I thought, right, hide the laptop, because I know what they're like. You know, they'll come in and they'll nick my laptop.
Before you go on, Tim, did you get your laptop back, boy, and your phone?
Not quite. I'll tell you this story, and then I'll tell you all about it. Yeah, these two police officers knocked at the door, and I thought, hide the laptop quick. And I went downstairs and opened up the door, and it turned out they were a couple of counter-terrorism officers. Hello, I'm Julian. This is my friend Sandy. Can we come in, Mr. Burton? Can we come in and have a word? You have got a nice house.
Love it.
I love your curtains. Oh, can we sit down and have a cup of tea? We'd love a chat with you, if that's all right. Well, now your court case is all done and you've won your court case. We thought we'd come round and have a little chat with you. I hope that's all right. And, sure, this is fine.
So it was camp, was they then, Tim? They was definitely camp.
Oh, not at all. What gave you that idea?
I don't know. It's just the way that you was talking about. My name's Sandy and this is...
Yeah, that's right. I'm PC Julian. This is my friend PC Sandy. And, yes, we've been asked to come round to talk to you about counter-terrorism. Ah, me? You know, what do I know about counter-terrorism? Anyway, it turns out that they're part of the prevent strategy that the government has put in place in order to reduce radicalism. And they go around to talk to various people who fit the appropriate profile, and apparently I'm one of those people. And they say, well, we'd just like to have a few words with you about the EDL. What do you know about the EDL? So, me? EDL? Oh, well, I don't know, mate. What do I know about them? And I said... it's no secret that I'm broadly supportive of them. I said I've written various articles in New English Review, and I understand what their motives are and why they came into being and so on. And I said one of the things that I often get asked is, why do I support an extremist right-wing organisation? And I say, I don't recognise that description. I said, as far as I'm concerned, the EDL... Well, quite. I mean, the EDL, far as I'm concerned, is staffed mainly by conservative patriots. And it's only on the left of the political spectrum that apply the epithet of extremist right-wing in order to serve their own political agenda. Oh, did you hear that, Julian? Did you hear what he said? I hope you're writing this down, Julian. He's going too fast for me. So I had a chat, and, you know, I didn't give away any trade secrets. I talked about a lot of the things we talk about on this show. And I said that as far as I was concerned, there were things that ought to be done by government that are not being done. And because they're not being done, you can't be surprised when organisations like the EDL come into existence. And... So when you look at things like these Muslims abusing our homecoming troops, when you look at things like Muslim sex grooming and paedophile gangs...
Burning puppies?
I mean, I gave several examples, and I said, if the government cannot take action when it's required, then these kind of things are only going to go unchallenged for so long. And so I wasn't at all surprised when the EDL came into existence in 2009, because something had to give. And I said, not only that, I said, when you're talking about Muslim grooming gangs, I said, just you'll be aware, I said, of the report from the Law and Freedom Foundation on the subject of easy meat and Muslim sex slavery. And at which point they looked at each other. Oh, do you know anything about that, Julian? Oh, I don't think I do, Sandy. well, okay. I said, well, this was a report that basically vindicated everything that the EDL had been saying. And I explained a little bit about the Law and Freedom Foundation report and how the abuse that was described in it had been going on for many years, and nothing had been done by social services and the criminal justice system, and everybody who should have been doing something turned a blind eye and turned the other way. And I say, as far as I'm concerned, that on its own vindicates the EDL. So they went away with a flea in their ear. They didn't really. I mean, they had, so they said, a duty to come and check on people like me, because apparently I tick a few boxes in their in their prevent strategy somehow, and so they wanted to come around and talk to me to make sure I wasn't going to go and blow up any mosques on me way out today.
Look at yourself, Tim. They look at the EDL, and they look at us as being an extreme far-right group, and that's something our mission statement should tell everything what they really want to know about us. We're against all forms of extremism. It doesn't matter where it comes from, the left, the right, the middle, the centre, wherever. We're against all forms. So when they label ourselves as being an extremist, one of these terrorist groups they're looking at, I really am offended, and so is the rest of anybody that's involved with what we do, because we're against anything. Don't forget, we was nearly at the end of a terrorist attack on ourselves.
Remember, is, of course, the West Midland Police have been in partnership with people like Tell Mama UK. And the problem is that they've bought into the myth of multiculturalism and diversity being a good thing for the country, and that anybody who opposes it is de facto a far right extremist. But I explain my point of view to them. I don't expect I've converted them overnight, but I think I gave them something to go away with. And I do have to say, when I showed them my mendacious grievance-mongering Takiya artist mug, they were most impressed. I have to say, oh, Julian, just look at that. That fiasco girl is dreamy. Oh, he certainly is, Sandy. Oh, yes, I wouldn't push him out of bed to get to you. So I left them with that, cooing over that while I went to make the tea.
So they're still on your case, Tim, really, in a roundabout way. They're trying to get your views. They're trying to have a psychological profile of yourself, Tim. That's the way it seems to me.
I don't think I gave away any trade secrets,
no.
And I don't think anything that was out of the ordinary. And I did say to them, oh, by the way, can you have a word with the case officer at the station and get me my computer and my mobile phone back? So they looked at each other again. Oh, yes, we'll see what we can do. I'm sure it'll be no trouble at all, Mr. Burton. And off they went. So that was an interesting morning's meeting, that was.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's very interesting.
I mean, this is it. I mean, and to think that...
That's usually my cue to... to kind of move the show along a little bit, because we have two other people here, Jeff. We have Ecuador and we have...
I'm sorry, we're so engaged with the saga.
Bring him in, yeah, go on.
Hi, Tommy.
Thank you. Hey, Tommy.
I'm here.
It's Mr. English himself. Good evening, Tommy. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm very well. Just something for Tim. Tim, if they were going to pop round to your house, I'm going to tell you a little story what happened to me about a year and a half ago. I'll just out the whole thing out for you. Knock, knock, knock. Who is it? It's the police. Would like to speak to Mr. Tommy English. How many of them are you? Two. Oh, chat amongst yourselves then.
Well,
why can't we speak to each other?
You're kidding me, right?
Well, basically, it was then the sirens came on, the van pulled off. Oh, God, I've got to let him in now, haven't I? Oh, dear.
Yeah.
But, yes, I'm very well, thank you. It's a lovely evening tonight. The sun's still out in Hull, which is a remarkable change.
Yes.
Oh, that's not just the nuclear power station on fire, then.
It's glowing.
Yeah, glowing. Glowing on the horizon.
A little meltdown.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's good.
When Tommy comes on the air and he makes jokes, I got to remind myself to play this. I'm really remiss.
Oh. Also, I've got to say it's good to have you here, Tommy, part of the team this evening. And not forgetting our very own Mr. Agador, who's been sitting there very quietly and patiently listening to what we've been saying. Good evening, Agador, and I hope you are well this evening.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Jeff.
Hi, Agador.
Hi, Cal. Hey, Tim. Tim, dude, you know, I really hope you can get your laptop back before it, you know, retrogrades to an abacus. You know, I mean, it might be about the year 2049 by the time they finally get the thing back to you. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fortunately, being a computer consultant, I do have more than one computer, so it's not as bad as it might have been. But yeah, you know, it's been almost a month since the case, and I haven't had my stuff back. You know. I'm not too worried about it, but yeah, you know, they should be dropping it round hopefully soon, sooner rather than later.
Well, I would have a word if you don't see it within the next couple of weeks, Tim. I'd tell you're brief to send them a letter about your stuff that needs returning to you.
Well, look at it this way, Tim.
For thieving it.
Look at it this way, Tim. You know, if they don't return it pretty soon, you know, you can open up a vintage computer museum and charge people admission.
Yeah, that's right. There's a plus side to everything, isn't there? Really. So yeah, there's no downside to it. So yeah, it's all looking good.
Eric had a really good idea from the chat room, and that was.
What was that then? Sorry, Kel. Go on. What was that?
Eric had a really good idea from the suggestion from the chat room, in which he said that you really should have it swept for bugs, plants.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he'll do that anyway.
Oh, yes. I mean, that goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
I would be making sure there's nothing on it that might be planted, so, yeah.
Yeah, Tim, I'm kind of similar to you in that.
They can have you, actually, if you've got a... you got a laptop and it's got a camera on it. They can check on you with the stuff that they've got these days. They can put something inside your computer that can just check on you all the time. Basically, it's been
in
talked
that case,
about.
Tim, give them something to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I don't think my camera's quite big enough for that. But
nicely done, Tim. Nicely done.
I could just imagine the people at MI5 saying, God, my wife can't bend like that.
Yes, quite.
Moving swiftly on. Very interesting. As I say, a visit from the police... the counter-terrorist group, they call themselves, is that the... countering it or something they called themselves?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was counter-terrorist, I think, or counter-terrorine or something like that. It's counter-terrorist, yeah, that's right. Yeah, definitely.
I'd have said, well, what the hell are you doing knocking on my door?
Well, you know, I thought...
There's no terrorists or anybody that's associated with that sort of thing that you're on about.
No,
I think you've got the wrong address.
I thought I'll may as well let them in, you know, and just see what they've got to say. I'm sure all will become clear. And it did. You know, they just said that we are part of the prevent strategy, and this is what we do. We go around and we talk to people to make sure nobody's becoming radicalised. And
did you
tell them, you know what, I know of some terrorists, and I can tell you about them.
I was so tempted to say, well, I'm just off down the road to plant a bomb at the local mosque, but I thought I'd better.
Oh, they would have had you. They'd have had you. Yeah. Bank the right
well,
there,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah,
there,
dude.
Dude, not a good idea, dude.
Yeah. You would have been under the jail, man.
Yeah, that's right. But
I wonder if they go around talking to people like yourself, Tim, if they're doing the same strategy with the real terrorists out there. You know, the people who convert people into becoming these terrorists about Adrian Chowdhury. I wonder if they're having the same conversation with people like him.
Well, I if I were a betting man, I would say they are probably not. But they'll come and talk to people like me because they know that people like me won't take offence. And they can talk to people like me all day long. You know, I'm quite happy to sit and drink tea and have a chat with people like that. If I think that I can express my my views clearly and succinctly, you know, they can take them on board and do with them what they wish. I don't have anything to hide. But of course, if they go round to a Muslim household and the Muslim declares himself to be offended, they're just going to end up arresting themselves for racially aggravated harassment. So they probably aren't going to do that.
Well, you know, now that would make a YouTube video. I want to see how, like, you know, two cops arrest each other and put each other in a car and, you know, make each other accompany each other to the station.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what they'd have to do. It would be like a Monty Python sketch, wouldn't it?
You come along with me, constable.
Am I going to arrest you?
Exactly. One would have
to
drive halfway to the station
with a cup of tea,
and the other half of the way to the station.
That would be fair, wouldn't it? You know, job diversification. Yeah, that would be fair. So, but yeah, you could just see that, couldn't you? A Muslim declaring himself to be offended by these two police officers asking him questions. Oh, we're going to have to arrest each other, Sergeant. There's nothing else for it.
Yeah, that's right.
Who wants to put the handcuffs on first?
We can put the handcuffs on me first, Julian, if you like. I don't mind.
I was going to say, yeah, you know, one of them could say, well, of course, you'd want them on first. I've heard you talking at the station.
Oh, it's a crazy world we live in, isn't it?
But they did say to me, what would you do if, just say, a Muslim family moved in next door? What would you do? Go on, tell us. Tell us what you'd do. Go on.
Blow it up! That's the worst thing you could have said.
I'm glad you weren't there, Kel. You know, I think Tim would be going, Kel, please don't help me.
No, if you're going to have reason to believe that you might cause criminal damage and try to blow up a person's room. Hey, come along with me, young girl.
Oh, dear.
What would you do?
What would I do? Well, what I said to them is, in all seriousness, I said, you know, Muslims are just people, and if they keep themselves to themselves, that's fine. The only problem I have with any Muslim is if they try and impose their views on me to the point where it's interfering with my life in some way, in a way that I don't like. Now, I don't think that individual Muslims are likely to do that with me, quite honestly, because they'll probably take one look at me and think, I don't think we'll try and impose our views on him. But, I mean, they do when there are enough of them in any given location. That is exactly what they do to their neighbours. And that's why people move out of Muslim-dominated neighbourhoods and they very quickly become 100% Muslim, because nobody wants to live next to a large quantity of Muslims for that reason. It's exactly the same always and everywhere. They make life so unpleasant for their neighbours that nobody wants to live next to them. But an individual Muslim family would probably be absolutely fine. And I think we were talking about this yesterday, Jeff, when we were saying, you know, what did you think when, you know, there was one Muslim family that maybe moved into the street in 1960s or 1970s. And the answer to that is you don't think anything about it at all because they're not a threat. They're not one family on their own and are not a threat. Yeah. And they, you know, they may dress slightly differently, but, you know, that's not a threat in itself. They may cook curry in their house and the smell of curry may waft over the fence to you, but that's not really a threat in itself. And I personally quite like curry, so I mean that's not really an issue. But it's only when you start getting a majority of them in a given location that you start to feel intimidated, and they do make you feel intimidated. And I am not surprised that kind of thing causes a problem, but I didn't go as far as to say that to them. I thought, you know, just be honest. If you've got one Muslim family living next door to you, it isn't a problem, and that's what I told them.
Well, I think that's just about right, Tim. But as we say, we do see that over the time that the problem with Muslims moving into areas and slowly but surely taking over, due to intimidation and people not wanting to live there no more because it's not a very nice place to live anymore. It used to be so nice around here, but look at the state. It looks so run down now. And that is what you hear from people that live within these Islamic enclaves of how sad they are to think that their beautiful little town that they live for so many years have been run down ever since the influx of the Muslim turning up in their neighbourhood and bringing down the property prices, people moving out because it's not a very nice place. And that is what we see up and down this country, isn't it, Tim? Everywhere we look is the same issue. We can have this conversation with a million people in this country.
It isn't just this country. The pattern is the same always and everywhere. So whether you're talking about France, Holland, or Scandinavia, where they've got more Muslims in percentage terms than we have over here, is exactly what you see. The pattern is repeated. It's the behaviour that's mandated by the Quran and the Sunnah. Everything that Muslims do is dictated by what are in the Islamic texts. So when it happens one place, we shouldn't be surprised that it happens everywhere else.
That's right, Tim. And it's how we combat it, and you know, and what we do about this situation, because it is becoming unbearable for a lot of people where they live. I mean, going back, Kel, you remember when John called in that time and he told a story. He lives in Acme, he does, Tim, my friend John, and he has to walk his son to college simply because there was a lot of Muslims in that part of the area that if his son walked to the college by himself would have been attacked because his face not fitting in with what the Muslim faces are. So this was the case why my mate John had to walk his...
You've obviously said something to tickle Kel's fancy, Jeff.
It's the chat room. Hagador wants to know there's actually a town called Acme, and do they make anvils of dynamite there? From the Warner Brothers cartoon, the Roadrunner and the Coyote.
Everything the coyote used came from, you know, the Acme this
Acme
or that company. They made, you know, they made anvils, dynamite, you know, rockets, you know, just pretty much anything he needed. I mean, you know, that's got to support that whole town, Jeff.
Yeah. Oh yes. Yes, Hagador. But I just actually popped into the chat room, and it's quite busy in there, isn't it, guys? My goodness me.
It's always good to see lots of familiar faces in the chat room, and I can see some great links going in, and all the great stuff that we love about having our chat room, don't we? And of course, you're getting Kel giggling now, guys. So. There she goes. but well, not forgetting, though, tonight, as I say, it is Comedy Central time tonight. So, but the thing is, we won't have Mr. Wahibi. Is it Mr. Wahibi Wooby?
Wooby.
Oh, and Jeff, I always like how you feel. I love how you always feel that you have to explain every minutiae of the show. This is why I love playing this for you.
Captain Obvious to save the day.
Good gracious.
Goodness
gracious me. Oh dear! But yeah, what's to say tonight, Kel? Have we got any stories that we was going to discuss on the show this evening?
Hell if I know.
Hell if I know.
No, that's organization.
What have we got out there?
Well,
we've
actually,
got
we do, and believe me, the hits just keep on coming when it comes to Muslims. But we have somebody here who is joining us, and this is 0573, and I'm going to bring them on right now so that they can say hello before we get into the meat and potatoes. So hello, 0573.
Hello, this is the Spirit of Freedom calling CDO.
My goodness me. Have we got someone talking from the other side? Is this someone speaking from the other side?
Oh, is that you, Julian?
Well,
you can call me the Spirit of Freedom.
The Spirit of Freedom, there you go. Hi, Spirit of Freedom, and a welcome to the English Defence League radio show. It's good
yes,
to say
I am calling to warn you.
Oh, I say.
Yes, I'm calling to warn you about your freedom on Comedy Central tonight.
Oh, my goodness me. Our freedom on Comedy Central. Pray, tell us more. But this is, we've all ears.
Ooh.
Oh, my ears a little bit large. Oh, go on.
Oh, go on, Julian. Go on.
Yes, beware. Beware your freedom in the UK and around the world of the Sharia onslaught coming. They are working as thugs for the New World Order.
I'm sure this is Nigel Farage. This is Nigel Farage, isn't it? Come on, Nigel. Come to me, mate. Come on.
I was hoping it was
that. It sounds like Dame Edna Everidge. Let's be honest, guys. Yes, Freedom calling into the show this evening. Yes, I think most of us are up to speed of the freedoms that are trying to be taken away from us. And we are doing everything within the grounds that we possibly can to prevent this happening. So don't you worry about freedom. Is always being fought for. Freedom will always be fought for, and that's the way it stands. And we do know there are obstacles, but it's so good to have you call in on the show this evening, though. Is it freedom lover, or I don't know what to call you. Do you just want me to call you Freedom?
Jeff, freedom should not be played with.
Certainly not. Yes, you should not play with freedom. I mean, freedom is worked for, And it's something that people fought and died to protect: freedom and democracy, liberty, and all the good things. So, and you sound like the Ides of March. Beware, beware the Ides of March. You know, this is like a Roman
infamy.
Thing, somewhat.
Infamy.
Did you not think so, Tim? Beware the Ides of March.
Yes, so I was just thinking that it's definitely, infamy, infamy. We've all got infamy.
He got infamy.
Even though it's closer to the calends of May, so there you go.
Yes, yes. Very much so, but it's really good to have someone from the other side calling in. One of us, I suppose you're a freedom spirit, aren't you? There, freedom. You're a freedom spirit.
Never say goodbye to freedom. Good night.
It sounds like a bloody Monty Python sketch here in the middle of
Don't worry, freedom.
That man, officer.
Don't worry, freedom. You're just like a lovely old girlfriend. We'll never say goodbye. You'll always be with us.
Yes.
And there you go. Don't mess with freedom.
Absolutely. Wow. I mean, it's just really good because we never know who's going to call in onto the show, do we, Kel? This is something.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Especially when you have a freedom spirit calling in. I mean, it's totally different. It's took us in a total different direction tonight, isn't it, guys?
By saying the spirit of freedom, it's kind of insinuating that freedom has died.
Well, it seems like
the
spirit made a very good point there, Tommy, because as we know, people's freedom of speech...
Jeff has a man crush.
Anyway.
Well, that took that train of thought and just derailed it into a friggin' volcano, didn't it?
Yes. I'm still trying to get my tongue around what Kel said, so
there we go.
Now,
isn't it?
Goodness gracious me. This is descending, this is. But no.
Jeff, it's okay. We've known for some time now.
What?
Yeah, we have.
What?
Uh-oh. I've got to say, Norwich had those feminine sides.
Oh, dear.
Okay, Jeff, what were you saying?
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, you are listening to the English Defence League radio show this evening, which is descending into chaos.
Yes, the EDL radio station, the most Islamophobic, arachnophobic radio show in the country.
Yes. Led by your very own, arachnophobe himself, Jeff Mitchell.
We call them arachnophobes now. We call you're an arachnophobe now.
An arachnophobe, my goodness me.
Oh, but that's an unreasonable fear. You know, I mean, Jeff has every reason to fear the spiders. I mean, you know, they want to cuddle up to him.
Well, they're big. They're bigger than me.
Especially that big
girl.
Black one that he kicked into the corner months ago. That spider still remembers.
Yes. Yeah, I've got rid of spiders that's actually chased me, wanted to come back, and I'm not very... very happy with me as well. I've had these, and of course I've got an awful fear of them coming back with the big brothers, you know, with the ones with the tattoos on their legs and things. you know what I mean, Agador, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. You know, they're going to bring, you know, they're going to try and go to the Middle East and bring some of those camel spiders back, you know. You haven't seen a picture
oh,
of one of those things yet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I remember camel spiders. Yeah.
Cool.
I was just thinking that would be a great job, wouldn't it, Jeff, being a spider tattooist, you know, and getting all these spiders queuing up to have tattoos done on their legs. You could make a fortune. You know, because they'd all need eight done, wouldn't they? So you'd make eight times as much money, yeah. Yeah.
Make a fortune if you was a tattooist, wouldn't you, Tim?
Well, that's right. I mean, obviously, you need to advertise your services on the web. But, I mean, apart from that...
On the web. Oh, come on, guys. These are jokes cracking here.
I saw what he did there.
I think that was really good, Tim. Well done. And as I say, Comedy Central is with us tonight. And we also... I don't know what we do. We always go around and then we end up talking about me being an arachnophobe. And I don't know why you tend to...
Arachnophobe.
You're scared of spiders, Jeff. You should have said. You should have told us. We never knew, did we, Carol?
I don't know. I've been telling you every week.
No, Tim, he never uttered a word.
Never said a word. Well, who'd have thought it? Learn something new every day. Amazing, really.
Well, it won't belong to the anti-fascists outside of his house saying, oppose this evil arachnophobia, spiders are our friends. Radical arachnophobia.
If you want to find out, Matt, more look on the web.
Yep.
Oh, God! Well, come on, Tim cracked a joke about the web.
Equal rights for spiders. Yeah, you know, they're all creatures of the earth, you know. It's a microaggression to try and step on one.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, they come into this country, they make webs in our bushes, start killing flies and cockroaches.
Yeah, native flies and cockroaches.
Yeah, that's it. What we just
born.
Whose flies? Our flies. That's what I say.
My goodness, whose flies our flies?
I don't think I put a spider slide up there in the show notes this week.
I looked for one, Kelly. You did not put one up there. So there you go.
Kelly's
being very nice to you, my friend. She
you've been on the web, but you haven't had a chance to put the slides up.
Well, she was on the web. She just couldn't catch one.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Well, now that we have totally discredited EDL Radio.
I know.
I was wondering... No, I'm of two minds as to what to do at this juncture. You have to call back in a few moments, but we have a clip here by Michael Savage. We have an article courtesy of Tim, and we have a song that we can play, and I'm wondering, what do you want to do next?
what I want to do next is I'm going to now explain that next Sunday, with what we've got proposed to guys, is we're going to have back on. Isn't that right, Kel? We've got next Sunday. Our special guest next Sunday will be Steve Ellis, the chairman of the EDL.
Brilliant.
And I feel quite excited about having Steve back on the show once again. It'll be the day after the Rotherham demonstration, which is next Saturday, which we said we would be talking about tonight as well, and which once again we've got to go back to Rotherham because it does seem that these grooming, the Islamic slavery gangs have been very busy once again, haven't they, Tommy and Kel and Tim?
Absolutely,
and,
Jeff.
Seventh time we're going back to Rotherham.
Oh, can you believe it?
How many
seven
times,
times ladies and gentlemen.
You have to, and I've got the clip for Rotherham, the demo. Anytime you want me to play it, Jeff, I have it right in front of me. So just let me know.
Yes, please, Kel. I think, as I say, we've just been promoting the demonstration for next week. I think it's only right that we paid a promo for it. So, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you might be, this is so important. This is so important to be there in Rotherham. Look what's going on. Why do we have to keep going back? Because the police are not doing their jobs properly. We still got these evil people out there who's committing absolutely horrific crimes against the young people amongst their communities. Think about it. It's horrific what's going on. So with that, I'm going to pass it back to Kel, and then we'll play the promo clip. So thank you very much, Kel.
for having that ready to go.
If you want to find out why the English Defence League are protesting in Rotherham on Saturday the 10th of May, then visit the Law and Freedom Foundation website and read their report about the Muslim paedophilic gangs that have been raping, torturing and abusing non-Muslim children for decades all across this country. The Law and Freedom Foundation's report about how the police, social services, local councillors, the media and politicians in this country have been trying to cover up these vile crimes to protect their own careers and cared nothing about these poor children and allowed them to be gang raped and sold like slaves into child prostitution. To help us expose the people who have allowed this to happen, then come and join us in Rotherham on Saturday the 10th of May and help us bring an end to this, because if we do not stop them, they will allow more and more and more young girls, children, to be gang raped by Muslim paedophiles in this country.
Martin Hyde for that promo. Very dramatic music, and I think it speaks volumes for what was said about what's going on in Rotherham. It still continues as we talk. So I'd like to thank you, Kel, for putting that up there for this evening. And I would say that I know next week there's going to be quite a heavy presence of people from the northeast. Our EDL will be travelling many, many miles to be there at Rotherham, because it's so important. People need to put their feet on the street. Make your voices known. Make people listen to what you've got to say about this horrific thing. It's happening in that neighbourhood where people from the English Defence League are going. These could be your children. Be there. Join us. Be a part of what we're doing and what we continue to do. It's too important to step away from these things, ladies and gentlemen. It's only right that we do as we do, Christy. As you can see, a lot of it's been swept under the carpets for many, many, many years. And
I'm glad that we're here now, but I feel it's upsetting to me to think that so many children have been abused, that their lives have been totally ruined. There's girls missing up and down this country that could have met the same fate as Charlene Downs, which we talked about and expanded a little bit on last night. And these are the things that it always plays heavy on my mind, of exactly what's going on in our country. Not just this country, but wherever you might live in Sweden, you might live in Germany, you might live in Norway. This thing is happening where you live. This Islamic slavery is on a global scene, and it's creating absolutely horrific crimes wherever it may be. So there you go, that's just me giving you a little passion the way I feel about things, ladies and gentlemen. If you can be there, please be there. Join with us, the English Defence League. Make your voices heard. Make them realise that you don't want to put up with this crap anymore. So anyway, let me pass it back to Kel, because we have got a few other clips that we want to be playing this evening, haven't we, Kel? We've got a few good goodies for our listeners this evening, haven't we?
Yeah, we have quite a few things going on tonight. Like I say, we have another clip from Michael Savage we'll be playing, and we have an article that Tim Burton sent our way about embrace multiculturalism. But, Jeff, you have to call back in. So do you
want to take
a bit of a break?
Oh, Kel, thank you. Do you know what? I'm running I didn't even look at the clock. That's it. You know, when you get carried away with things that's going on around you. Thank you very much for giving me a heads up on that.
You bet.
So, yeah, Kel, I'll pass it back to you, and I suppose we'll be having a little break. Thank you, Kel.
You're welcome, Jeff. And we will see everybody back here in 5 minutes. Please enjoy the musical interlude, as it were.
Well, there you go. Absolutely. No, that's the first time I've heard that tune, and I love that, Kel. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for that.
It's quite a long song. I actually had to cut it back.
Oh, did you? I didn't know that. But anyway, welcome back. My goodness me, they wanted an encore, didn't it, Kel?
It's so good, it just kept right on playing.
It likes the show.
There
you go. It doesn't want to leave us, Jeff.
I know, Kel. But I'd like to welcome everybody back to the second half of the English Defence League radio show this evening. And I hope you enjoy we're having a crazy night tonight, aren't we, guys?
Captain Obvious.
But it's all good fun, and I hope you're enjoying. And of course, we are talking about these serious issues. I mean, I'm going to start off the evening with Tim. Go ahead, Kel. What is he going to say?
Yes, yes. Welcome to the English Defense League radio show, where we talk about the issues that the mainstream media
Welcome to the English Defense League radio show, where we talk about the issues that break the mainstream media right the hell up.
Welcome to the English Defence League, and my name's Julian, and this is my friend Sandy.
The EDO radio show is the program for the English Defence League members and supporters, in that you will find the same honesty and direct approach that you have come to expect from us.
The English Defence League's radio station, where you go before the nightclubs open.
Word.
E-E-E-D-L.
A-B-C-D-E-D-L.
E-E-E-D-L.
Whose jokes?
Anyway.
Our jokes.
We've got listeners out there wondering what we're doing. Friday night is always a little bit different.
Yes, there appears to be some sort of gas leak in the studio this evening. And unfortunately, the only way out is the cat flap.
Oh, yeah. And Mr. Catman there is lying again. He's saying that the cat flap is getting smaller. He's not getting bigger. The cat flap is getting smaller.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, he got in tonight, though. He was pretty slick. He didn't even touch the side. So, you know.
Yeah,
and as far as the gas leak goes, you know, I mean, it's all down to those, to those Canadian mice that got shipped, over via FedEx. I mean, they must have gone off a little bit.
Kill the mice slayer. And I offended so many people on my Facebook page when I posted what I did.
What this goes.
Hey, if you haven't been offended, where have you been?
Listen, if you're not offending anyone, you're not doing your job, hon.
Oh, I know. If I don't offend at least six people in one day, my job is not done. And actually, Agador sent me a wonderful slide on Facebook. And if you go into my show notes for my show later on tonight, you'll see it up there. It's hilarious. So, Agador, I want to thank you for that. And Paul Alexander in the chat room, he sent me another one. It's the, as everybody knows, Jeff and, the Friday night Red Fox Blogger, that's the F-bomb show, because you never know what's going to happen, how outraged I'm going to be this week. And So Paul Alexander, he made me a new slide that I have up there. I'll put the link in the chat room later for folks to take a look at it. And
nice.
It's Kel Fritz, the Red Fox blogger, for Fox's sake.
For Fox's sake. I love it.
Well, yep. Basically, I think Kel can do the little song. Kel can do the song for a show like something like F-bomb, you're my F-bomb. You can really turn me on.
And I don't know when I'm going to drop it in the show. F-bomb. Let Kel go along. She's going to drop the F-bomb anytime.
And bring your bottle of a whiskey, because every time she does, you have to take a shot.
Oh, you're Julie Walker.
It's not enough. Yeah, it's terrible. You know, no, we're terrible at that show. And what we do, everybody in the chat room, it's a drinking game show. And when you come to the show, every time I drop the F-bomb, everybody's got to take a shot of whiskey. And what happens is that we all pile over to
If that's going to be the case, if we're going to start having shots of whiskey on Kel's show, it'll be hammered in 10 minutes.
I can't even get through it because Reactionary will kill me. But by the time we're done with my show, we all pile over to Reactionary Speaks Network, and we're all like, hey, how you doing? I love you.
Yes. Oh, you're great, Patriots. I love you a lot. Yeah. You just go in here. Hey, how you doing, baby? Nice rack. Yeah.
Saying that, on Sunday, sir, I'll bring in a bottle of vodka into the studio, and for every time the word Muslim gets mentioned, you got to take a shot of vodka.
Be paralytic for the first quarter of an hour, Tom.
Maybe for you, Jeff. I think I've got a stronger liver than you.
Well, Jeff's is toughened up with you, though, Tommy.
Ooh,
I mean, you know,
load of belt yours is that was in the liver side.
Well, yeah, you know, your liver is kind of, is you know, okay, it's strong, yeah, because it's young, you know. But Jeff's is like, you know, hardened with use. So you know, I mean, there is that. But
it certainly is. Thank you. Thank you for being in my corner there. Oh, my goodness me.
Youth versus experience.
Yeah, well, a lot of people might realise that I'm not a serious drinker. I mean, I'm more of a teetotal man myself, but I like the occasional tipple of rum and coke. That is my tipple. Tommy knows.
It'll be a shot of tea for Jeff then, won't it? Take a shot of tea, Jeff.
Later, dark rum, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, I'm curious, man. I'm curious. You know, light or dark rum? Which one?
I like the dark rum, the navy. I like a good navy.
Ah,
rum.
See, there you go. There you go. See,
now
that proves you're not a
racist. Like that, you know, I'm advertising. That's actually moving. Great.
Ladies
and gentlemen.
I'm picking up the rum skin color there, Agadar.
Well, no, see, that's what I was trying to do, Tommy. I was trying to determine whether or not Jeff was a racist, and, you know, he just proved he wasn't. You know, he likes the dark stuff, yeah.
Oh, I do like that. I do like my rum. I've done for a number of years, and I don't know. You either like it or you don't like it, but it's always a nice, refreshing drink. It's got a nice aftertaste to it. So there you go. Everybody to their own tip.
Speaking of mentioning colours, do you remember that old Warburton's advert we had a few years ago that got taken off the air because it was racist or had racist overtones?
I do vaguely remember it, Tom.
It was a cartoon of two kids arguing about which bread's better, and the obviously goes, no, I like brown. But he goes, oh, no, white is superior to brown. That's why they took it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It just goes.
Tommy,
it just goes to show you, it's just crazy, isn't it, with that all of a sudden things that they class it as a racial overtone. For goodness sake. I'll get fed up with them everywhere you stand. They're playing a race card. They've overplayed it. Would you not say, Tim, Kel, Agador?
Oh, yeah.
It's just.
Oh, God. They've got the whole deck. You know, guys.
Speaking of the race card as well, I still take my get out of jail free card to demos.
There you go. Well, you know, guys,
that'll work.
Yeah, I actually did a show, The Unpleasant Blind Guy. I actually did an entire show when I featured old commercials that got taken off because they were racist or because somebody got offended or something like that. And there are some really good ones in there. You know, I mean, really excellent stuff. You know, I mean, it's just so many things. And we're all fed up with the racism. I mean, my God, you know, you guys have seen a couple of the stories that have come out of the States here. Just ridiculous. Yeah. You know, like this guy that owns the L.A. Clippers, you know, and, you know, some gold digger records him making some racist remarks in his own home.
I was reading about that, Agador.
Yeah, and now they want to take away his basketball team because of crap he said in his home. So with no other legal recourse, they say, oh, well, you know, you're a racist. You can't own a basketball team. Now, is he a racist? Yes, he is. You know, but, I mean, you want to resolve the problem? Nobody's going to play for the guy. Let him keep the team. He'll have to sell it anyway. You know, but the point is everybody is screaming racist. You know, okay, I put this in a few days ago. Okay, the 1950s, there were some people that saw a communist under every bed. Now everybody sees a racist under every bed. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we have gone through a wide circle, and we are where we are now. As you say, it's just pure madness. And who knows what the next phase is going to be? What sort of a trend it's going to be over the next, say, 10 years? You know, because it does seem that things go around in circles and it's just like the Orwellian, but we live in the Orwellian times now where, say, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you'd have never dreamed that we would be living at a time now where your freedom of speech, your freedom of expression, all the things that what was taken as normal is becoming your enemy, because if you speak anything which anybody might find offensive, you can end up on in a court over it, as Tim has, and probably Paul Weston will have to face as well. We do live in those times, and who knows? Well, I hope some common sense is going to prevail. I hope that some of the cases that's coming to light now, you know, people start to wake up and realise this is a stupid situation and it needs to be addressed and things need to be put right, because we're just leading the country, people are leading into oblivion with the way things are working at this moment in time. Would you agree with that statement I just said then? Would you agree with
Well,
that?
Yeah, I was just wondering where the next phase is going to be. And I think with a with a bit of luck, we may well have turned the tide on racism and Islamophobia, because more and more people are realizing that the word racism has no meaning in terms of actually providing a descriptive term to usefully explain how people are thinking. It just doesn't have any meaning anymore. People use the term racist just to stop conversation happening, and the same is true of Islamophobia.
Yeah.
Now, most people, when they hear the word Islamophobia these days, they think quite differently from what they probably thought 10 years ago. If somebody called you an Islamophobe 10 years ago, the tendency would be, oh my God, somebody's called me an Islamophobe. I'd better shut up and crawl out of the room in shame. But now people can say, well, it's not Islamophobic to talk about Islam or to criticize Islam. Islam is not something you can have a phobia about. It's a very dangerous ideology,
and it's
quite rational to be concerned about it. And if this tendency continues, which I think it will, because people are waking up, and once you've woken them up, you can't put them back to sleep again. This is the important thing. This only works when the left can keep everybody asleep. And if people like us are going around waking people up, once they're woken up, they stay woken up. And so I think that what we're going to see is a decline
in the power of the left to use language to enslave us in the way that they have for the past 20 or 30 years. And that can only be a good thing, because it's through the power of language that the left has gained its power. There is nothing intrinsically good about the policies that people on the left espouse. The only reason that they get away with espousing them in the way they do is because the rest of us have been too scared to even think about setting up counter-arguments. But now we are showing them the way to set up the counter-arguments. I think this is going to come full circle, and we are going to reclaim language, and we are, through that process, going to instill common sense into the political process. I think it's through the means of language we're going to do it.
Well said, Tim. I think that is the whole thing, that common sense will prevail in the end. And we're fighting hard to see these things come about, aren't we, Tim? I mean, you yourself have been taken to task over certain things, aspects of Islam, Shakia, things like that have been definitely highlighted. I think common sense is got to prevail in the end, because otherwise we just, you know, if it just carried on the way it was, it'd be oblivion, and I would hate to think what the future may hold for, as I say, for our future generations.
I was just clearing my throat and I forgot to mute myself. I forgot to hit my cough button. I'm sorry.
Would you like to make a comment on what we've just been... We've got some clips as well. We've got a couple more clips we need to play tonight as well, haven't we, Kel, this evening?
We've got one here from Michael Savage that you sent, and Jeff, for the edification of your listeners, I did not give you the proper credit that you deserved last night. You're the one who set up all the Michael Savage clips that we have been playing. The one we're playing, we played last night, and the one we'll be playing in a moment. That is courtesy of you.
No, I mean, say, I really, you don't have to precede any honour, because it's always been there. It's just that I've followed Michael Savage for such a long time, over many, many years, and that, and when we was discussing it, and I thought, you know what, it'd be nice if people could hear the passion behind this gentleman where he speaks about Islam, and he's been banned because he speaks, because he's got strong views against it. Same with Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer. Robert Spencer being, as we've been sold by an imam, that's his field, that Robert Spencer's field, and being an imam, that Robert Spencer's got more authority about talking about Islam than he did.
Oh, I know. That is hilarious. I love that story. I love that.
And we will replay that, Kel. We'll have to find that clip and replay it, won't we, Kel? We'll have to replay that for our listeners to hear. And imam actually putting his hands up and saying, well, Mr. Spencer knows more. This is his field. And the guy who's an Asian presenter for the radio said, well, hang about there. You're an imam. You're supposed to know everything about Islam. Oh, no, but it's his field. It was one of those things that was highlighted, that little thing that you'll never forget, that icon, isn't it?
I remember that. Yeah, he goes, okay, so will you condemn the... what is this about Islam and paedophilia? Oh, well, Robert Spencer knows about this. You're already an imam. I was like, yeah, but this is Robert Spencer's field. Yeah, but you're not the one who preaches it. It was like that one, sir. You didn't know what to say.
I think that's the first time that's ever happened. You've got it, Tom. As I say, I've always said it for many years, that Islam is undefendable, isn't it, guys? If we have someone who come on the show who classes himself, like Adrian Childry, we could just tear him to shreds with different things he said, that we've got evidence that in front of us that will throw his story right up in the air. Everything they want to speak about, I will say to them, what was good about Islam? Well, your show.
Well, basically,
Islam is a way of, you know, it's an idiot. And I don't know, Tim, if you've had this conversation. It's hilarious. It really, really is.
This is the one with Robert Spencer.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I recall that.
Well, and the one.
No, go on, Agador.
All right. Well, no, I'm just going to say, you know, I mean, what condemns them is not only what they say, you know, which there are plenty of evidences of that. I mean, my God, there was a gathering on, you know, at the Texas State Capitol, where they were talking about replacing the Constitution of the United States with the Koran and shouting Allahu Akbar, you know, on the steps of the Texas Capitol.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm about to drop an F-bomb, you know, but it's also, as you say, Tim, in their holy writing, in their holiest of books, they state what they want and what they want to do. And you know, in other more modern writings, like the, you know, Memorandum of Explanation here for the United States, for the Muslim Brotherhood, it's all written down. And, you know, You would think, okay, if the quote unquote moderate Muslims or the quote unquote good Islamists were opposed to this, you'd think there'd be thousands of them in huge organizations saying, no, this is not how we believe. But it's pretty much the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, what we have to do is form the anti-jihad community into a religion. And then if you're against us, you're a racist and an anti-jihadophobe.
There you go.
I mean, you, Agador, you could be the Pope. Kel could be the Emperoress. Tim can lead the choir. And me and Kel will write the Bible. You know, in the book of Tommy, in the book of Kel, it states quite clearly that Islam will not take over the world.
And Tim and Tommy and myself, seeing as we're musically inclined, we're going to write all the hymns.
Oh, there you go.
Have tip number one today. We're coming.
No, Tommy, it's more like this. You need more of a, you know, a choir voice. We're coming, oh dear, hear me, Lord, we're coming.
That's just thought. What?
Help the road. Sing it to me.
Well,
all right, you go.
Silence, I kill you.
You go there. I'm going to have to get Ken McClinton to come and help with the hymns, okay?
Well,
he can give it some American flavor.
We'll start building the first anti-jihad church tomorrow, and what we can—I mean, anti-jihad communion can be a shot of whiskey and a bacon sarnie, couldn't it?
There you go. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I still think we could give ourselves.
We could just say, "Oh, the racists, the anti-jihadophobic, we're the victims."
Silence!
I kill you. He's got it again. That little bugger. He lived under that bloody door today. Tim, kick him up the old kicking out the door.
Don't worry, Jeff. I'll get him out. Get out, Acted.
Spray him.
Out.
Spray
out.
Him. With that mosquito spray.
I got him, Jeff.
Well, he comes after he comes after the biscuits, you know, and you keep trying to tell him they're not halal, you know,
and that doesn't
deter him. I mean, go on.
Agador, the nicest chat, not only do we have the nice, okay, we do have a nice chat room, but I meant to say we have the nicest studio. I always make sure there are roses in the studio. There is tea prepared for everybody and nice biscuits, and the desk is always tidy. And Acid comes in, and he doesn't take off his bloody sandals, and he leaves sand all over the carpet. So after every show, I have to run the vacuum through and clean up. But
what really annoys me, he doesn't have too many baths either, does he? Because we always end up with loads of flies in the bloody studio. Every time, isn't it? We get swarms of flies. It's not the Lord of the Flies.
Well, that's just food for those Islamic spiders coming in. But I'll tell you this, you know, I mean, he, you know, the bar is always open, and at least he never, he never bothers the booze, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you know what? Unless it's on the eve in which he's going to engage in jihad, and then he'll get loaded all he wants and, hire some hookers and have a great old time before he shaves himself right down to the nothing and engages in the jihad the next day. But so far, Ahmed is not interested in kinetic jihad. He just likes coming into the studio and bothering the hell out of us.
Well, probably what he does, he probably just tells him he's going to get into the kinetic jihad. You know, that's just so they'll let him smoke the hashish and then he leaves. That's probably what's up with that.
Well, basically, when I was dusting the studio out the other day, there was a great big house spider right in the corner in its web, and I saw the word Allah written on this web, and I shouted, "Praise be to Allah, Allah to be praised," and I ran out the studio, burning cars, waving my axes, running down the street, shouting, "Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar." And when I came back, Kel hoovered the bloody thing up. Islamophobic.
There you go.
Goodness gracious, man. I didn't know. Kel, you didn't tell me about that. You didn't tell me about you either, that big spoiler.
Sometimes, Jeff, honey, sometimes there are just certain things you don't need to hear.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm saying. I've got people who care, really care about this this radio host, and Kel didn't want to trouble me to let me know that she was up a massive, great big spider. So thank you very much for that, Kel.
She thought if you hoover up a house spider, they stay in there, but they don't. They end up finding their way out, don't they?
Yeah, you know what? What I did, Tommy, with that spider, that's the one I put on Jeff's pillow. Oops.
Well, she got it out after she emptied the bag, didn't she?
It's not that bloody one I swallowed the other night, was it? Because do you know what, guys? I reckon we, you know, just as a normal person, swallows about 30 spiders every year without us knowing.
That is a wide's tale. That's not true.
No, it's a spider's tale, but it's true.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that anymore.
No, I Kel. Do you know that?
I don't believe that.
Spiders always come out. They're nocturnal.
Saying that, in the anti-jihad Bible, on average, we swallow 6 Muslims a year without even knowing.
Oh.
Well, that's why I get sick of cats.
I was going to say, guys, because we have got another Michael Savage clip, and I really want, before we go to the top of the hour, because then we're going to have a little roll call. We're going to play that. We got a little bit of music, and then we're going to have a roll call, aren't we, Kel? I think that's what the schedule is for this evening. So
What we'll do, I love this clip that you put together, and this is from September 11th of 2012. But once again, another timeless Michael Savage clip, and he takes a phone call, and he just pulverizes a Muslim caller. So we'll play that and see everybody back here in 3.5 minutes. Here we go, Jeff.
Enjoy, guys. Enjoy. Go ahead, Kel.
Oh, sorry. What I have to do is buffer it up.
San Diego Lee, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Savage, I listen to conservative talk radio a great deal. And one of the things that I often hear you refer to as it relates to the white male and this war are things that are being raised against the white male in America. What I hear is frustration because the bottom line, Mr. Savage, white rootship or white domination, which in truth stems from white supremacy, that day is over.
Let me see. I'll take your paranoid fantasy of black rule. Let me ask you something. Where on earth does black supremacy show equality for people?
Wait a second. Why would you take something that we know to be an actual fact?
You didn't answer my question. Don't ask me another question. I'll ask you a question. It's my show. Don't try to scare me with your garbage. You're telling me that the model of Africa is what we should look forward to? That's what we should look forward to? Is a rule like in Mugabe's country? or in South Africa, the AIDS capital of the universe? Tell me where we should look to black leadership as an example of what the world should be following.
Mr. Savage, you're doing what all of the conservatives...
No, Mr. Sir. No. You're doing what you're doing, which is trying to propose black supremacy. I'm asking you to show me one country on earth where black supremacists rule, where people have it better than in the United States of America. Can you do that, sir?
Why are you flipping the coin?
Why? Why? Because you bent the coin. I'm straightening the coin out. You gave me a twisted coin.
This is what this radio does. This is what you're famous for. And, you know, the category...
And you can't answer the question, so you're going around it. I'm asking you again. Show me one nation ruled by black people where the people have a better life than they do in the United States of America, or where black people who rule a nation rule it with any more equality than you find in America. Can you show me that nation, sir?
I'll tell you that nation. I belong to that nation, and it's right here in America, and it's called the Nation of Islam, sir.
Oh, I see. I knew that was underneath the surface. I knew that was underneath the surface. So you're going to allege that Islam is a more democratic force than the United States of America?
I'm going to assertion that the teachings of the...
Can you show me one Islamic nation where women have the equality that they have in the United States of America? Tell me how you people treat your women.
I just told you the Nation of Islam. Not
the Nation of Islam. I ask you a question. Show me how women are treated in the Nation of Islam. Teach America why you have a superior treatment of women than America does.
First of all, you would never hear us on talk radio bashing women the way you white male...
Oh, you're twisting it again. You treat women like animals. You treat them like cattle.
Hey, Dr. Savage...
You put women in cloaks in order to cover them up because you're afraid of your women. You are afraid of your women because they're smarter than you. And the only power you have is the power over your women.
Now what are you?
The only power you have is the power to oppress your women.
Go on,
Michael. You're getting those facts.
I'll be right back. No, I'm still here. I'm not going to waste my time with an ignoramus like him. That's all. Everyone caters. A guy calls, he's black. Right away, they're on their hands and knees. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. I had enough of this garbage. I heard this before. He's a black supremacist, and he's a black Muslim supremacist, and they're never going to rule America. Never in a million years.
And there you go,
Jack.
Yeah, the applause for that.
That deserves a round of applause.
Mr. Savage there.
You know what? I think that is a wonderful idea. And here we go.
Can we get him on for the show in the future? Because I would love to speak to him.
What I did, I don't know about you, Tommy.
Oh, I'll send it to you, Tommy.
Sorry. Nope. I was going to say, what Michael Savage done was, it would show the sort of a conversation that you will have with anybody who calls himself the Nation of Islam, the way that they, I called it the Muzzy Shuffle, the way they shuffle, because they don't want to answer the question, because we all know that the way that they treat their women. But he didn't want to say that. He kept on about white supremacism, and it was just amazing. This is the sort of discussions that we have all the time with these people, and they dance around the issue. And then they start getting a little bit aggressive towards you if it gets a little bit uncomfortable for them. And that is exactly what Michael Savage done with that guy, didn't he, guys? I don't know your observations were, what you thought of that. But thank
you, I'd like
Kel,
to...
for...
Yes, thank you, Kel. I'd like to jump in as an American, since those were two Americans talking about this whole issue. What the caller was doing was he was trying to equate everything that Michael Savage says with white supremacy, with racism. It's the exact thing that we were talking about earlier. You know, that I mean, trying to play the race card, trying to be the croupier in this casino. And Michael Savage just put him down and said, no, it's not about white supremacy. It's not about racism. You know, I'm not speaking from a white male perspective. I'm speaking for all people here. And, you know, and Islam is evil, and I'm sick of it. And that's my observation.
This is the same guy that tried to take me on this week. This is James. Hello?
Okay, sorry. That was James. Was that the same one who tried to take me on?
He calls in. He calls in to the Radio Jihad shows all the time.
Yes.
He called into George Sensor's show on Sunday night where I was a panelist talking about what was going on with Paul Weston. And he pulled the exact same stunt. And believe me, we made short work of him.
Well,
yeah.
I just want to know, Kel, how did you manage to speak to him from the white male perspective? I'd like to know about that.
Good.
No, he calls into Usama Dakdok's show quite often. Believe me, I know James.
Oh, wow.
I know that voice. Yeah.
I'll bet
James
I'll
is quite a regular. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes he calls in. He's an atheist. He always says he's an atheist when we know that he's actually a Muslim Brotherhood, he calls in. He uses different names all the time. He has different labels for himself, but believe me, you cannot forget that voice ever. And when Jeff was sending this. And I was listening to it. I went, oh, my God, for fuck's sake, it's James.
Yeah, he's, the trouble with James, he's not very bright. I mean, if it's the Islamic teaching that's installed into these people, it's quite obvious that every time, whatever show he might appear on, whoever takes him to task and he goes away with his tail between his legs. I don't think I've heard him put up a decent argument and come out of the debate, the victor. He's always come out on the, been totally refuted, rebuffed. he never wins a battle. He never wins a battle wherever he goes, Carol. And as you say, he's been around a number of years, and this is what he does. He tries to plant discord amongst people and just stirs up the race pot there, doesn't it? That's what it is. It's a race pot. He wants to stir up racial problems there. And as a lot of people see right through him, know exactly what his game is, and puts him in his place. Rightly so as well, ladies and gentlemen. That was a... I think we've got other clips out there. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, over the next couple of weeks or so, we will be probably exploring some of the clips that I've come across over the time. I think you will really, really enjoy what Michael Savage has got to say. So he's been banned from this country, along with Robert Spencer, who's an authority on Islam, and Pamela Geller. These are good people. These are good people who speak their minds about these issues, and this is the reason why our elitists out there, whoever we're going to call them, tries to shut people up, because they're speaking the truth. The truth is what hurts them, and because the truth, you can't hide the truth. Tim, you say it so well. There's three things you can't hide. Tim, would you like to elaborate a little bit on that?
It's an old Buddhist proverb, and it refers to three things that cannot be long hidden, and that's the sun, the moon, and the truth. And I thought that was a wonderful proverb, and that's why I like to share it with you whenever I can.
That's fantastic, and that's a great way that we like to round things off with a very old proverb like that. But I was going to say, Kel, we want to do a little bit of a... Wish we could have a little music break before we'd done a roll call for the last quarter of the show this evening, because I'm under the schedule that we talked about. Was we going to play a bit of music?
Want to take another musical break? Because we're down to our last 50 minutes of talking points.
No, we won't, Inko. I've just noticed the time. I just looked myself, but I didn't realise that we'd moved on off the top of the hour. I was going to say, Kel, if you could do such a wonderful job of doing a roll call. What a great people we've got in the chat room this evening. So thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And in the studio as well.
Oh, absolutely. And what I'll do is that, first of all, we want to remind you that you're listening to the English Defense League radio show, the official station of the English Defense League, and welcome to Comedy Central. I hope that you have enjoyed it, because believe me, I think that we totally went off the rails tonight. We really missed Wahabi, though, but he's marrying off his sister. She's going to be the sixth bride to a very, very prolific cape dweller there in, where does he live? What's my name?
He's a cave dweller, isn't he? So he lives in a cave, Carol.
Cave dweller. Did I say cage? Probably did. But he wanted to convey to Wahabi from Spongistan, you know, where he sponges off us, and we stand for it. But he sent me a message. Absolutely. He sent me a message for you, Jeff, and he said that you very funny, mad, ha ha hee hee. You speak funny, you call me Wahibi, you call me by my cousin name. So he just wanted to let you know that he's thinking of you today as he's marrying off his sister into a life of slavery. Oh, I mean matrimonial bliss.
I'm the slave, yeah, exactly, that's the case, Kel. You know, what you said first of all was the right thing. Yes, I'm into the life of slavery. That's correct.
Oh, boy.
Well, we missed him tonight. We did, didn't we, Kel? We've missed Mr. Wahibi.
Yeah.
Just Ruby. Ruby.
But he is thinking of us, and he's hoping that we're all enjoying camel piss. I don't know. But
well, I don't know about you. I'm not. I'm drinking my tea.
Oh, God. Well, I dropped the F-bomb, so I think I took a shot of whiskey. And believe me, if I keep this up, when I do my show later on tonight, it's going to be Welcome to the Red Fox Blugger.
Just okay. Gentlemen.
Well, Jeff dropped one, too, so let's be fair. You know, we've had a chance for at least two drinks tonight.
There you go. Okay, but yes, let's say hello to everybody. And like I am saying, you're listening to Jeff Mitchell, and he is the host of EDL Radio. I am Kel Fritzy, the Red Fox blogger, and I am his producer. And he calls me his co-host, but I think I'm his co-crazy partner in crime. But we want to thank people who are joining us in the studio, and of course Tommy English, who is instrumental in helping this radio show along, because he sends a lot of material our way, and I get it in the studio. So Tommy English, and he's the LGBT division leader of the EDL. We want to thank Cat Strangler 101. Of course, that is our very own Tim Burton, and he is the radio officer of Liberty GB. We want, of course, to thank Agador, who is the unpleasant blind guy and the radio host with the most on YouTube. But Jeff, who we have in the chat room, we want to acknowledge all of you that are joining us tonight, because you're taking time out of your otherwise busy day to spend with ours. And that includes Bigfoot, Dodgy Dave, Drake's Drum, EDL Minx, My Minx, Eric Kyle, Holger Awakens, Hope in My Heart, who has been joining us for the first time on this particular radio program tonight. So, Hope, we are so happy to see you. We want to thank Alexander, who is the man behind a lot of the slides that I put up on these various radio programs. We are so always happy to see Porky Steve, Rini Fan 99. Of course, we have Stanger 73, My Voice, and Vito Esposito, or as Jeff would say, Steve Esper
Rito, and Vito Esposito is the proprietor of the Radio Jihad Network and mine and Tim's boss, where we host on Tuesday nights the Freedom Loving Infidels at 6 p.m. So there you go, Jeff. But we also want to thank everybody that listens in archive, and we know you do. So thank you all very much. And, of course, we have a special shout-out to offer to everybody. Our sweet Sue from New Mexico is now at home.
That's really good news. It's good news. You know, we've all been worried and concerned of what's been going on with Sue, and it's good to know that she's back home in the comforts of her home and that. And you know, we're keeping her voice. She's a lovely lady. So you take time to recover well, because we missed you, haven't we, Kel? But I'd like to thank everybody who's been sitting in the chat room this evening with your great links, the comments you're making. I mean, it's always a fantastic place. I always like to pop in there, and some of you people had me roaring with laughter, so I've got to thank you all, every single one of you. And, of course, anybody that listens, whatever devices you might be listening on the show this evening, thank you so much for your continuing support for the show. And we all say it, and we go, if it wasn't for you, there wouldn't be us.
There would be no us.
You continue. That's correct, isn't it, Kel? but as I say, Kel, I've got to really give you a big thumbs up and a big salute for the slides and all the things that you do. You know, putting the little clips into the studio, as you do. But there's so many people involved with what we do on the English Defence League radio show. So thank you all so much. It's really a great honour and privilege working with great people like Kel, Tim, Tommy, Agador, and everybody else that's associated with what we do. Our continuing fight, moving forward. Oh my goodness, mate! I won't talk about you moving.
I don't think we're of the right mind tonight, because believe me, it really was Comedy Central tonight, and we were distracted by so many shiny things. It was unbelievable.
It was, but at the same time, it's good fun. As people know, when they tune on Friday night, it's going to be funny. And it did. It ended up, we had Monty Python things flying here, there, and everywhere. Tim talking about the police constable, Julian. What was he? Julian?
Oh, that would be Julian. Julian and my friend Sandy. Oh, yes. They loved it. They absolutely loved it. They admired my curtains, so it was super having them round for a cup of tea. Yes, and we had a lovely chat about counter-terror and all that kind of stuff. It was wonderful. So I hope they're going to come around again soon.
Let me ask you, Tim. Okay, these two guys were about 25 years old. Am I right?
Yeah, that would be about right.
I thought so. Yeah, okay.
And as they walked out, I suppose they went, "Oh, shut that door, Tim. You get a terrible draft."
Yeah. Well, that's a bit of the old crime prevention routine about them as well. So yes, they were checking over all the windows, and the very last thing they said was, "Shut that door." And yes, off it went.
If they were checking the windows, you get a very large letterbox.
Yes, that's it. And they camped off down the drive and got into the pink panda car with little flowers painted on the side. And then putted off down
they
the road.
Skip it?
It was lovely.
Did they skip away from the home?
They did. With a little skip.
And they knew
the
cameras were watching, didn't they? They knew the cameras were watching.
I've got it all on camera.
Was it a Prius, Tim? I'm just wondering if it was a Prius.
I think it might have been a Prius.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, can I just interject for a quick sec? Holger was actually asking where the heck is Poppy? And a lot of people have actually been asking me, where is Poppy? And what happened is that Mr. and Mrs. Poppy, they moved from Scotland to England. Everybody knows that was going on.
they had found a home, but what happened is that the back check, it turned out that it was a rather dodgy situation. Meanwhile, they had to close out their tower, I call it, of course, because I live in the dungeon at Poppy's Place. They had to close out that deal, and the home that they were hoping to move into did not pan through, so they were living in a hotel. All their stuff was put in storage, and she just went absolutely. She's been going absolutely crazy. But they have since found a new home. They are moving in. They are getting settled, and Poppy will be back on Block Talk Radio in our chat rooms in the very near future. So Poppy, if you're listening to this in archive, let us know how you're doing, if you can get back into the chat rooms, but we'll let you know that we love you and we hope that everything is getting settled, and there you go. There, Jeff.
There you go, Kel. Thank you so much. Thanks for raising that tonight, because I think most of us it's awesome. When people have not been around for, you really do miss, because as I say, we are like a big family, aren't we, guys? We really are. And when we don't see, our usual people sitting in chat rooms, you can feel the presence missing, can't you, Kel? You always can, and that's something we've missed with Sue, and we've missed with Poppy, and hopefully in the very near future we'll have both of these lovely ladies back on listening to shows and doing what they was generally doing before, so that'd be fantastic. But yes, they've been greatly missed. I think most of us would agree to that.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, Kel, my goodness me, we are coming down to what we've got about eight minutes left of the show this evening. But as I said, we've got you've got a show. I'd like, just because, Kel, you've got a show this evening, I was wondering if you'd like to give a little bit of a heads up on what you'll be discussing tonight on your show. As we know, it's the F-bomb show tonight, and ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard Kel doing the F-bomb, please stay tuned for a show this evening on your very own Block Talk Radio.
Who hasn't heard Kel's show? That's what you should be asking.
Exactly.
Say that again, Tommy.
Who hasn't heard your show? I bet Nick Clegg's just probably getting his headset ready now to listen to you.
Yeah, Kara's tuning in too, so he'll get ready for that.
I can imagine Obama just biting his nails every time Kel's on the air, like, oh, what's she going to say about me tonight?
Oh, Tommy. Oh, you know, and that is funny, because when I take a caller, I tend to keep them. But they do get credit for sitting beside me in the studio, so there you go. Oh, and yes, I do have a show tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and that is midnight, of course, in the UK, and God knows where else on the planet. But tonight I am going to be discussing Islamic crucifixion, and is that the new rage? Because as we know, if Islamists aren't outraged about something, they'll find something else to be outraged about. So I will be discussing this latest rage. So there you go. Because the scourge, they reach below the bedrock and they sink right into the magma. So I'll be discussing that, amongst other things. But if you would like to join me on the program, call me at 347-237-4318, 7 p.m. That will be in an hour and 40 minutes, give or take a few minutes there. I'm looking at my wonky watch, the one that Tim sent me for Christmas. So,
but...
I had a watch given to me by a Muslim. It keeps going backwards in time.
Yes, that's it.
Well, that means it winds itself up, right, Tommy?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard these scientists have discovered that a new scientific thing out there, and I think they're calling it the wheel.
When I had my watch on today at work, it started ticking, so I got very concerned. I lobbed it out the window.
Oh my god.
Yes, well, one would, wouldn't they? But I've got to say to everybody part of the panel and the team tonight with Kel, Tim, Tommy, Agador, and everybody else that's been sitting with us this evening. Thank you so much. What have we got, Kel? What have we got? We've got about 6 minutes left.
We do.
I was going to say, have we got time for a last thought from Kel, your last thought for the evening before we close this week down for this.
Do you really want to know my last thoughts for this show tonight? Okay, here's my last thoughts. Derpy, 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 derp.
There you go. Well, there you go. There's Kel. I would like to also ask, your thoughts for this evening, your final thought for the evening.
Durka, Durka, Muhammad Jihad.
Yes. Well, very wise
there
words
go,
there from Kel and Tommy. I don't know if I can improve
and
on
course,
that.
And, of course, I've got to ask yourself, Tim. Before I come to you, Tim, I'm going to ask, Agador, your final thoughts for this evening, brother?
All right. Well, you know, look, I mean, for anybody that might be listening to the show and thinking we're all a bunch of crazy people, well, first of all, you're right. But second of all, we're doing this this way. We do this on Friday because, you know, happy warriors have to let their hair down. You know,
amen.
Our opposition says, oh, well, they're just a bunch of, uptight, people, they could bend down and, pull a railroad spike with their butts. No. Okay. We have a purpose and we have a resolve to work for civil rights for everyone, and we're going to do that, and we're going to have fun doing it, and we did that tonight. I love all you guys. Love you, Sue. Love everybody in the chat room. There you go.
And we
thank you very much, Agador. And Tim, your last thoughts for the evening. You always got some wise thoughts for our listeners out there. So, Tim, go ahead.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm not too sure about pulling out the railroad to spike with me, but give it a go. Certainly give it a go.
Oh, God.
If I can't
see
the counter-terrorism department, then I'll have a go at pulling out the railroad spike with me, but it can't be any worse than that.
Do you know what?
So
if,
there
if
you go.
That's an easy 250 quid from you being framed right there.
Well, for everybody, I mean, we've had too much fun on a Friday. We really do. But I'd like to thank every single one of you. God bless you guys. You do a fantastic job. Great panel. And I hope everybody's listening. You've been laughing along with us because we've had so much fun on this show tonight. So for myself, Jeff, Tommy, Tim, Kel, Agador, everybody associated with this show, the English Defence League radio show. We'll be back this Sunday, hopefully with an action-packed show once again.
yes,
so
you don't say, more action-packed.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be action-packed.
It certainly will, Kel. So for myself, from the panel tonight, I'm going to say God bless you all. Take care, stay safe, and not forget it from every single one of us here associated with the English Defence League. No surrender. No surrender ever. And tonight we're definitely going underground because I've got the right one ready to play. Good night, guys. Here we go.
Hey, good night, Jeff. Good night, Tommy. Good night,
Agnes. People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your fight brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money and cost than the mine. My nuclear test was for atomic rights, and the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing to say it to dust. I'm going underground. Where's the prospect for you? Pleasure as I hate me, I've done enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax, me, I'm too busy dodging through your fantasy. Here's the one.